I've noticed this for the last 15 years, and there's just been a grace for me to say, well, then do something about it. What I've noticed is people who go the distance, meaning who are 10, 15, 20, 30 years in the Lord, and who are still going after God, like with passion, not across the board 100%, but a vast majority, like 75, 85 kind of percentage-wise, are people who have been through some kind of intensive training. Not necessarily a Bible school per se, some kind of either they went on a YWAM thing overseas. They did some kind of summer project with Cambridge Crusade. They were part of a NAVS program. They did some kind of intensive program where it was intentional and focused in going after God with a company, a group of people for a period of time, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, something along those lines. But the interesting thing is there hasn't been a whole lot of what I've seen that happening within the context of a body, within the context of a church. So I've gone and done several things like that, but they've always been outside of the church. And I found out about a church up in Michigan who's been doing it within the context of their church. And the energy and the power and the strength on it is just really incredible. So we're going to be doing it. And it's going to be about 7 weeks. It's going to be in June. So I just want to give you a heads up for that. If you are interested, there'll be many more details coming. So enough on that. Peter, come on up. Peter's going to bring the living and anointed word.
Thanks. I got to get set up. We don't have the earbuds today. So get my computer open here. We'll go ahead and take tithe and offering actually right now. So let's pray over that. Thank you, Father, for what you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. Thank you, Father, that your daily bread is good. Thank you, Father. You give us everything we need each day, and then we stay with you and we get everything we need the next day. So we just want to be in your presence. And we don't want to hoard anything or hold on to anything because we know that you provide for us every single day. So we just give back to you out of an act of thanks, Lord, an act of trust, act of trust. So, Father, we just commit this tithe to you, pray that it'd be multiplied in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited to be here with you guys today. My wife and I, Megan, and our new son had planned to go to the Smoky Mountains for spring break. I'm a teacher, so it's spring break time. It started Friday, and our plan was to leave early Saturday morning. And so anyway, the Lord said don't, basically, in the sweetest way. And it's just been such a great start to the break. And he's had this message on my heart for multiple weeks. Joshua and I have been intentional about having me prepare this. And so, Lou, you can go ahead and pull up the title slide, if you got it. The title of the message is Honoring Christ and Receiving His Inheritance. Honoring Christ and Receiving His Inheritance. So, for the last week, I guess, the last week we've been in Colossians as a body. Every single day we're supposed to read all of Colossians. It's four chapters, takes about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes if you're doing it more meditatively. And there's something, I don't know about you guys, but there's something... You know, Paul's got some interesting, he's got about 9 prepositional phrases per sentence sometimes. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all that have seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Whew! And there's something that happens about the 12th time you read through Colossians or some book by Paul. You can kind of start to roll over some of those prepositional phrases because it's not the first time you see it. Because if you're anything like me, sometimes the first time you read that, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. And then like 3 minutes later, you're reading all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you're like, I don't know what he's talking about. So there's something about reading Paul over and over such that you can kind of start to flow over those prepositional phrases. So I'm excited just on a practical level. I'm noticing about the dozenth time in the last few weeks that I've read Colossians, things are starting to flow, and revelation can come out a lot easier than the first time I was to read through it. Because otherwise, you read through it, you don't know what he's saying, you're like, Good job, Paul. That definitely sounds like good religious language. Okay. But there's treasure in it, so let's get after it. Okay. So I don't know the website's name. Is it something like, I feel like there's a website probably like foundmoney.com or like you can kind of like search and see if you've got an inheritance waiting for you. You're like, oh my gosh, my great aunt Sue, who is twice removed, and her cousin Betty left me $33, right? Or maybe like you are a great descendant of so-and-so Rockefeller and somehow there's like this stream of money in his trust fund that's like actually meant for you legally. And it's like $3 billion, or I don't know, $3 million, whatever. So if we were to find that, we would be pretty stoked. In fact, a lot of people actually do spend time looking online to see if they've got an inheritance waiting for them that they didn't know about. Because if you didn't know that you had an inheritance and then you found out that you had one, you'd say, oh, happy day, whoopee, this is great. Okay? What if there's inheritances in the Word of God that we don't know? What if there are inheritances in the Word of God that we don't know? I don't know. I'm pretty excited to do that found money thing, so I guess I'd be pretty excited to get, you know, God's Word richer than gold and better than finest silver, and, you know, so it's better than. So what we want to do today is explain that there's an inheritance that we may or may not know about, flesh that out a little bit, and then we want to talk about how do you get it, right? Because if you go on the found money site and you're like, I found money. What's the next thing you do? You like look for the button where you click, you know, the green button that says, get my money. Father, I'm just pray. Father, we just ask that you would anoint your word today. Your word. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for your heart. I pray, Father, that we as a body would come to know more fully all the riches that you have stored up for us in Christ, that we would come to know that mystery. We would come to know more fully about the inheritance you've prepared for us, Lord, for the sons of the light, the saints of the light. Thank you, Father, for all that you have stored up for us. And I pray, Father, that hearts would come home today. Hearts would come home today to their inheritance. Hearts would come home to their inheritance. I pray, Father, if anyone is already home but doesn't know that they have an inheritance, I pray, Father, that we would know the inheritance that you have stored up for us, that all that you have is ours. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 20. We're just going to rock out some Colossians here, and then we're going to move off of it. Okay, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. Okay, listen to what it says about Jesus here. Like, God holds Jesus really highly. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Even the powers, he made them. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Okay, Lou, you can go ahead and go to the next slide. We're going to highlight one verse out of there. Doesn't it feel good just to read the Word of God? I kind of wanted to read all of Colossians right at the beginning of the sermon, but there just wasn't going to be time. But there's something powerful about just letting it rip for 10 minutes. Read it out loud, you know? There's something about reading out loud. I'm hearing the Word of God, and I'm speaking it, and I'm seeing it. It's just great. Okay, so if you found an inheritance, that would be cool. So in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance. So this is not talking about a random inheritance. It's talking about one specific one, the inheritance of the saints in the light. And it says the Father's qualified us. You know what I mean? Like, pre-approved, qualified, the inheritance is yours. Do you want it? Click the go button, get my inheritance. You know what I mean? At foundmoney.com, this would mean like, Peter DeWitt, you have this coming to you, the inheritance of the saints in light. It's like, wow, that sounds pretty good. Okay, you got your Bibles. Turn to a chapter that maybe some of you are very familiar with, maybe some of you are not. Isaiah 54. Louie, you can go ahead and go to the next slide. Okay. So right at the end, okay, anybody know Isaiah 53? Okay, so that's the chapter, or one of the most major chapters in the Old Testament about Jesus and what was going to happen on the cross. I always get the verbiage a little wrong, but he's pierced for our transgressions, right? He bore the sin of many. He's wounded for our iniquities, that sort of thing. Like, right? So Isaiah 53 is Christ, the cross. Okay? Then Isaiah 54, who here has read Isaiah 54 before? Okay. Now, listen to this. At the end of Isaiah 54, it says, "This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness from me, declares the Lord." The question is, in Colossians 1:12, when it says that there's an inheritance for the saints in light, and that we're qualified for it. There's an inheritance for the saints in light. That's us. And we're qualified for it. What is that inheritance? Right? Like, is it $30? Is it $50? Is it $10 billion? Okay. What is the inheritance? And so it just so happens, this is divine. The Lord has had me in Isaiah 54 for weeks. And I've read it for years, but for weeks. Every morning I've been reading it. And it hit me. It's like, that's the inheritance of the saints in light. Look. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord and their righteousness from me. Isaiah 53 talks about this is the work that Christ is going to do. Isaiah 54 is this is what the people of the Lord are going to be like. This is what they're going to step into in the inheritance of the Lord. I'll run off a few of them. It says, "Fear not, for you will not be ashamed." These are the inheritances. "Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. You'll forget the shame of your youth. This is like the days of Noah to me, as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you." There's a whole teaching to do on that, but do you know that the Lord's sworn that he will not be angry with you? Do you know when the angels came, when Jesus was born, they said, "Peace on earth and goodwill to men." Okay? So, this is Brad. By the way, Brad taught me that this verse about, you know, days of Noah, I've sworn it up. Brad taught me that a few years ago. It's probably one of the top five teachings I've ever got in terms of me knowing God's heart for me. If you're coming to the Lord wondering if he's angry with you, if you're praying and wondering if he's angry with you, if you're praying and you're wondering if he's like, "I will not listen to you," that really messes up your prayer life. Especially when it says that he's sworn that he will not be angry with us through Jesus. "For the mountains made apart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." Lou, if you could go to the next slide, Colossians 1:20. "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." How do you make a covenant according to Old Testament? Sacrifice. Blood needs to be shed, right? Blood needs to be shed. The Lord is big on this. That's how he does covenants. Even when people get married, the Lord's actually set up a structure in a woman's body such that there can be blood shed so that a covenant can be ratified. A covenant of marriage. And so at the end of Colossians, it says that making peace by the blood of his cross. So the blood of his cross was done for the covenant. And what was the covenant? The covenant of peace. So you read Isaiah 54, and it says that my covenant of peace shall not be removed. My covenant of peace shall not be removed. It continues, all your children will be taught by the Lord. Great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Anybody have trouble with fear? Okay, I do. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, this is an amazing promise. I can't hardly believe it. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not for me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. And then it says, no weapon that's fashioned against you shall succeed, and you'll confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness from me, declares the Lord. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness from me, declares the Lord. It's waiting for you. It's waiting for you. I find myself a little bit at a loss for words at how to communicate it. God's not mad at us. He is not mad at us. Do you know that he's reconciled us to the Father? Jesus has reconciled us to the Father. Perfect reconciliation. Perfect reconciliation. Covenant of peace. He's made a covenant. He's made a covenant. That word in Isaiah 54, where it says he's sworn that he will never be angry with us, the Hebrew word means that he swore seven times over. He swore perfectly. He like swore that he 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 swore, I will never be angry with you. God's heart for us is a heart of everlasting love. He sent his son. He gave us a covenant of peace that we might know that we could always come before him. And what Satan tries to do is he tries to steal that inheritance or make us blind to it or make us feel like we can't ask for it. But God has an inheritance for us. He has an inheritance for us. And what the Satan wants to do is he does not want inheritances to be passed along. He doesn't want inheritances to be passed along. Because everybody knows that if someone doesn't have parents and they don't have an inheritance, they have to start from scratch. They have to start from scratch. So it's waiting for us. We don't have to start from scratch. Jesus has bought an inheritance for us. He's bought an inheritance for us. Lou, if you could go to the next one. One of the things that struck me as I've read through Colossians is that I don't know if you guys think like this, but I think it's fun to do. Sometimes it's fun to read in between the lines of the Bible. Like, Paul will make statements like this, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. And my mind thinks this. Oh, so what did Paul think was important to struggle for people about? So Paul's probably like one of the top two apostles of all time. What did he think was important? For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, okay, being knit together in love, okay, now listen, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I would say one of the main themes of the book of Colossians is about reaching all the fullness of the riches. Riches is kind of inheritance language, isn't it? And this would imply that a church might not reach all the riches. Okay, think prodigal son story, right? There's the older son. He's with the dad. And the dad sacrifices the fattened calf and all that when the prodigal son comes back. And then the older son's like, you ain't never even killed a goat for me. What's the father's response? Son, you are always with me, and what? All that I have is yours. That's inheritance language. So you can be a pauper even though you're in the kingdom. Okay. How is it that you go about receiving an inheritance? Has anyone received an inheritance before? Is it pretty sweet? Well, it's usually kind of like mixed with sadness, huh? So how do you go about receiving an inheritance? So, Louis, you can go to the next slide. Inheritance comes through honor. Inheritance comes through honor. Let me play it out a little bit. Louis, you can go to the next slide, which is Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So there's this principle, if you honor your father and mother, you'll be blessed, right? Okay, there's three ways to go through life. There's curse, there's sowing and reaping, and there's blessing. Curse, sowing and reaping, and blessing. Three ways to go through life. Sowing and reaping is you get what you put in. You sow and you reap. Curse is I'm working really hard and nothing works. Right? Curse is you don't get what you put in. Blessing is you get what you didn't put in. The nature of an inheritance is somebody else has built the inheritance and they want to give it to you for free. The nature of an inheritance is you get what you didn't earn. We did not earn the work of Christ on the cross. We did not earn his righteousness. He bought it for us. He bought it for us. We get to receive it for free. That's called a blessing. It's an inheritance. The way you get that is you honor. But this, here's the thing. I don't know, some of you, this has probably been like, these are things that I just think about. So for me, they're like good fodder. Like I enjoy chewing on them. But like, they're kind of up here. They're kind of out, they're not real concrete, right? But here's the thing that is concrete. How you honor people around you that are in authority in your life is probably about how you honor Christ. How you honor people in authority that are in, you know, around your life is probably about how you honor Christ. Okay, let's go to one more slide to show you that inheritance comes through honor. This is from Matthew chapter 10. Many of you have probably heard this one before. Whoever receives you, this is the apostles being sent out, receives me, that's Jesus, and whoever receives Jesus receives him who sent me, that's the Father. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Reward, inheritance. And whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say, he will by no means lose his reward. God's kingdom is a kingdom of reward. We need to get over that. If we have a problem with God's kingdom being a kingdom of reward, God motivates us by reward. He motivates us by reward. He has good things for us, and that draws us to him, right? Why? Okay, prodigal son again, the actual prodigal son. He went out. Why did he come back? He's hungry. He was wishing that he could eat pig slop. What an offense. He's a Jewish guy feeding pigs. He was yoked to a foreigner, feeding pigs, wishing that he could eat the slop that the pigs were eating. That's like an abomination of the kosher law, probably, you know? And so in either case, why did he come home? Oh, even my father's servants have enough food to eat. I'll come home. Did the father be like, no, you aren't coming home for altruistic reasons. No, you're coming home for a blessing. He likes it. Father was glad to see him. So here's this principle. If you receive a prophet because he is a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. What that means is honor. If you honor a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you honor someone, you receive what they have to give you. If you honor Christ, you receive what he has to give you. What's the first step in honoring Christ? Lord, I can't do it, right? I can't do it. I've been doing my whole life on my own. I've been trying to be good, but I cannot be good. And you receive Christ, right? You bring your heart back to Christ. That's the first step in honoring Christ, right? Because let him into your heart, give him position in your life. So the honoring Christ process starts right there. And at that point, you're brought in to the kingdom of light. You're brought into the kingdom of light, kingdom of his beloved son. But then there's a process, too, of learning how to honor Christ daily throughout the day so that we can be brought more fully into all that the Lord has for us. So let's talk a little bit about honor. Turn to Colossians 3, verse 18. Paul's real practical about this stuff. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as if fitting in the Lord. Submit, honor. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Okay. Notice that Paul's using a pattern here. The first thing he says is who needs to do the honoring. The second thing he says So first thing is who needs to do the honoring or the obeying or the submitting. And then the second thing he says is he coaches the other person who would be in the position of authority how to be loving. Right? They go both and. Honor works really, really well if it's flowing both ways. So he's saying, children, obey your parents, but fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. And here it is again. Masters, treat your servants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Right? We're to be ones who are under authority and in authority. Under authority and in authority. Okay? Think of the centurion, right? The faith of the centurion. He comes to Christ, and he says, I've got a servant who needs healed. And Jesus says, I'll do it. And the centurion says, oh, I too am a man under authority. I say to my servants, go and they go, and come and they come. Just say the word and I know it will be done. Right? Jesus was under the authority of the Father, and the centurion understood that being under the authority of the Father, he was also in authority to make things happen according to the Father's will. Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about honor. Lou, you can go to the next slide. I'm going to toss out some words about honor, and we're going to go through them. Things that come to my mind when I think about honor, I think about position, I think about authority, I think about submission, deference, listening, and obeying. If you were honest with yourself right now, think to yourself a number. 5, I hear those words and I feel excited. 1, I hear those words and I think, when will this message be over? Say the average in here might be a 2.2. It's real funny. Honor's this funny thing because like you bring it up and it like brings up a lot of stuff because honor's about authority, right? So if you've had people in positions of authority in your life that have sort of not been the greatest to you, if they've been like the earthly masters that haven't realized that they too have a master in heaven and they've treated you wrong, and now you're not too excited about honor anymore. Here's the thing though. So every once in a while people accidentally kill someone with a car. Like they're driving it and it kills someone. Or injure someone. Do we throw out the entire institution of driving? No. Now, every once in a while, it's really sad, but people in authority can actually be abusive in their authority. Here's the trouble, though. If your past hurts in the place of authority, and I say this with all sweetness, if your past hurts in the place of authority are causing you not to receive the blessing that authority and the institution of authority that the Lord set up has for you, you're missing out tremendously. You're missing out tremendously. This whole message, the theme of this message, my hope, is that hearts would come home to the Father a little bit more fully today. Hearts would come home to the Father a little bit more fully. Why? Because God has great riches for us. He has great riches for us. Here's the thing, though. I can preach the riches part, but if I don't empower you guys and me to know how is it that you like come more fully into those riches, how is it that you're a son in the house that's walking in the inheritances, one of the major key components I'd say of life in the kingdom of God is honor. I'd say it's totally foundational to our entire walk with Christ. Honor. So we want to talk about honor today, and I'm going to talk about it from practical examples, because that's how Jesus did. We're going to use three things that Jesus talked about to talk about honor, and they're about position and authority, submission and deference, and listening and obeying. That's how Jesus talked about honoring. Then we're going to remind that's how blessing comes. Okay, so for position and authority, I'll just summarize this because sometimes I feel like it can almost give you too much. This is from Luke 14, and so Jesus told a parable. It said, when you're inviting to a wedding feast, don't sit at the position of honor at the table. Because you might get embarrassed. sign Jesus. Right? You might get embarrassed. He might ask you to move down. Okay? Talking about the wedding banquet person. He might ask you to move down. The person that's throwing the party might say, oh, actually, that seat was for them because they're more important than you. At least in this context. I don't know. Okay. I don't want to make too much of a commentary on this, but you know that, just for perspective's sake, do we live in a kingdom here in America? Well, in God's kingdom, but we live in a democracy, don't we? Okay. So our perspective, I just want to make it clear that probably most of us, our brains are thinking from a democracy perspective, not a kingdom perspective. In a kingdom, there's a king. In a kingdom, there's a hierarchy, right? In a democracy, one of the underlying assumptions is that everyone's equal, okay? So here's Jesus talking about a table at a wedding banquet. He's not talking about a circular table. Okay, Jesus' apostles, they also had a little bit of a problem because James, John, and Peter always got to go everywhere with Jesus. Over and over, the other nine had to stand outside. I'm just saying, that's what he did. So here's the point I want to make. There is such a thing as position. You might actually not, if you check your heart, you might not be fine. Like, if when you think of your boss, if you think like this, I could do their job. I could do their job better than them. Or, who needs them? Or if you think about your father, even if it was rough, if you think about your father, even if it was really rough with him, I was better off without him. Okay? There is such a thing as position. There is such a thing as authority. People fly against this big time. If someone really disagrees with the president that's elected or a politician that's elected, you'll see people's bumper stickers that'll say something like, "Not my president." Do you get it? That is the exact verbiage of an affront to this notion of position. Yes, he is your president if you're a citizen of the United States, right? And it says that we're supposed to honor him, right? 1 Peter 2, I think, okay? Because God's placed that authority in our lives to bless us, not to hurt us. Okay. Okay, let's talk about submission and deference. Louis, next slide, please. Submission and deference. Okay, I was a Latin student in high school. Submission has two parts, sub, S-U-B, that means under, like submarine, and mission, which comes from the Latin word mitto, mittere, it's a verb meaning to send. So submission means to send yourself under. Isn't that a beautiful picture of authority and how you work with authority? You send yourself under the authority of someone else. You place yourself under the authority of the person that's in authority in your life. Deference, I love this. When push comes to shove, are you still pushing? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you're okay, kids and parents, they got this one down. Okay, the kid's like, "Daddy, can I go so and so to such and such place?" "Actually, I don't think that's best for you tonight." 3 minutes later, "Mommy, can I go with so and so to such and such place?" That would not be the, "I'm placing myself under my father's authority, knowing that he has good things for me, and the Lord will bless me for submitting him to him and honoring him," right? No, that's not deference either. When push comes to shove, you're going around the bush, you know? Like, "Oh, we'll just go this way and find another avenue." Okay, a lot of times we think we don't have a problem with honor. This is me, totally me too. You think that you don't have a problem with honor until the Lord tests your heart, right? He'll test your heart in a new area. And it's a sweet thing, like Joshua was saying, conviction from the Holy Spirit, sweet, right? But a lot of times you don't have a problem with honor because no one's told you no. Don't judge how much you honor the people in authority in your life based on how you treat them and think of them and hold them when they tell you yes. What about when they tell you no? What about when Jesus tells you no? Ooh. Hit me, that one hit me. What about when Jesus tells you no? What about when I want to build a guitar and I haven't got to work on it, I want to build it, and I start working on it, and it's like you get that check in your spirit, you're like, you're forcing this, dude. It's not from me. Just, you got to stop. Today's not the day for it. There's not time. You got other things on your plate. You just need, what do you do when Jesus tells you no? You say yes, daddy, right? Like a good three-year-old would say, yes, daddy, right? And you just hop to, knowing that it'll work out and he'll make it happen and he can do it and he's for you. And or do you kind of like, no, I'm just going to kind of go ahead and do this, right? And you feel that. When you choose that, what's your heart start doing? Deceitfulness of sin. Your heart starts hardening, right? Because here's the thing. Temptation's different than sin. I don't know why I'm bringing this up. Temptation's different than sin. I think it's important. You're tempted to do the wrong thing, and you'll feel like you want to do it. But if you choose not to, you've won, right? If you choose not to, what do you do when temptation comes? You choose against it. But if you choose what you know is wrong, that's called sin. Sin's on purpose. If you choose to do what you know is wrong, that's called sin. And so we need to have a heart of submission to the Father, submission to Jesus Christ, submission to his work, not ours, submission to the Holy Spirit and his check within us. Okay, next, listening and obeying. Okay, this is about how, like, the Pharisees were talking with Jesus, and this is from Matthew 15, 4 through 9. So Jesus replied to the Pharisees. He said, God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father and mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy when he said, here's what I want you to get. This people honors me with their lips, but with their heart, but their heart is far from me. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I know that the pastor of the mega church in Korea, that's like a million people, one time he gave a sermon, and the sermon had two words, three, listen and obey. Listen and obey. We need to listen to God and then obey what he tells us to do. And that's honoring to him. That's honoring to him. Submitting to God when we want to do something different. That's honoring to him. Honoring God because he's in a position of authority in our lives. That's honoring to him. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's my challenge to you. Do not just honor God. Honor the people that he's placed over you in your life. Your father and your mother. If your father and mother are dead, you can honor their memory. And make sure that your heart is clean towards them, right? If your father's not in your life, you can make sure that your heart is clean towards him. If your boss is sometimes difficult to work with or something like that, or if they're amazing to work with, make sure your heart is honoring towards them, knowing that it's the Lord that provides your every need, not your boss. We want to walk. We want to walk in a way that's proper. Okay, so reminder, here's the context. There's an inheritance laid up for us in heaven in Christ, and we're qualified for it. What I'm proposing to you is that if you want to receive it, the pathway is honor. If you want to receive it, the pathway is honor. Okay, Lou, if you go to the next slide, actually. Okay, Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Christ. When we don't honor God, when we don't honor the work that Christ has done for us, we try to make a name for ourselves. You guys know that phrase, like, up, they're trying to make a name for themselves. What's that? Think about what that means. They're trying to make a name for themselves. Where do you get your name from? Your father. You're trying to make a name for yourself. When we try to make a name for ourselves, we can spend our whole lives trying to get what could have been given to us for free. So Jesus has laid all this up, but we try to earn God's grace. We try to earn God's grace. We spin our wheels our entire lives in self-made religion that has no power really in restraining the flesh, but we keep going and going and going. I'm going to do better. 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 No. Jesus has already done it, when we need to receive that from him. Okay, practicals. How do we do it? How do we move forward? We need to get in the Word. We need to get in the Word. We need to get in the Word. Let the Word of God, Word of Christ, dwell in you richly. let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you richly. Proverbs 1 and 2 and Psalm 1 so speak to this thing of a son's heart that just wants to do whatever his father says. He wants to treasure up his dad's words in his heart and wants to do, those are the things he wants to do. He wants to treasure up his dad's words in his heart. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the challenge for this week, is to read Colossians every day. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So honor the word of God, which is Christ, by listening and obeying, so that you can receive all the riches of his inheritance. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Worship team can come on up. Father, we just ask that the truth of your word, Lord, would be a blessing. Father, I don't know how to communicate everything that you would have for us to communicate, but we just ask, Father, that you would be stirring our hearts towards what you've laid up for us in heaven in Christ. Stirring our hearts towards what you've laid up for us in heaven in Christ. And I pray, Father, that you would be stirring our hearts towards being your sons and daughters, Lord, that obey you, that listen to you, Lord. We want to hear your words, Lord. We want to obey your words, Lord. We want to submit to your will, Father. We want to defer to your leadership and authority in our lives. I just ask, Father, that you would be creating a culture of honor across our entire body here, across our entire body. I pray, Father, that the places of rebellion, the places of needing to make it on their own, the places of needing to make our own name for ourselves, Lord God, that those places would just fall away and that we would come home. We would come home, Lord, not trying to make it on our own, Lord, but receiving all that you've stored up for us. Oh, Father, just more of you, Lord, more of you. Thank you, Father, that you have wonderful things for us, and your heart for us is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would just start moving on each heart in here as you would, just as worship starts, that your hand and your will would be done.
Just close your eyes. I'm going to just sense the word of the Lord. Just hear the Father saying, will you take your eyes off of that thing? Will you take your eyes off that situation, that place, and that person? When you place your eyes in your heart upon me. And there's a sense just that we're to give a response. It doesn't need to be out loud, but just in your heart to the Lord. No matter how hopeless or how flat or how empty or how long the journey has been, or that you would just say yes again. Do not grow weary in doing good. For in due time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Do not grow weary, brothers and sisters. Do not grow weary, sons and daughters. Let your hope be found in the Lord. Let your confidence be in Jesus. Father, together, we just want to consecrate afresh just our hearts, just our whole lives, where we just say yes to you. Where we say yes to you. There's a power, brothers and sisters, there's a power in the corporate gathering when we just together, and if you're not there, it's okay. If you're not feeling it, it's okay. But just that we would together just say yes. We just say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to giving you our whole lives, even if we don't know how to do it, Lord, because I don't. But, Lord, I want to give you my whole life. We want everything in us to be yes to you. We want everything in us to be a yes to your word, a yes to your spirit, a yes to your will. We want everything in us to be a yes. And, God, everything in us that says no, Father, we don't want it to say no. So help us. Help us in our weakness. Help us in our failings. Help us in our distractions. Help us in our sins, God. We want to say yes. We want to say yes, church. Just say yes. Say yes to your Father. Say yes to your God. Just say yes. Let them know that your heart is a yes. It's a yes. Even if you're stiff and kind of just hard, and you can find a yes. Find a yes in your spirit. Your soul and your mind might be all locked up, but your spirit is saying yes. Give voice to your spirit. Allow your spirit to say yes. Oh, Lord, we want to say yes to you, to the work you want to do in our lives, to the work you want to do today and tomorrow and this week and this month. Lord, we say yes. We say yes. We say yes. And several of you, the Lord right now is inviting you to set on the altar those things that are causing you to not say yes.